Boa tarde.
Good afternoon. Dear colleagues, I hope that you can see me and hear me in perfect technical conditions. I would like to start by welcoming you to all the colleagues, all the chairs of European Affairs of the National Parliaments, as well as the Vice President of the European Parliament and members of the European Parliament who are participating in this meeting. Special welcome to Michel Barnier for his presence and availability, and also for his excellent work which he has carried out for many, many years with strong and good diplomacy defending European interests, and because he is always available to share with us in a transparent way, in the case of the Portuguese Parliament. This is the third time which he visits us in the last few months. I would also like to thank the presence of David McAllister, head of the coordination group between the UK and European Parliament. With this meeting, we are continuing with the German initiative of, in spite of the pandemic, to maintain intense contacts and useful contacts between the national parliaments and the European Commission. In that sense, we will meet again this week, this time with Commissioner Vera Jourova, and on the 8th of February, in 2 weeks' time, with Commissioner Stella Kyriakides. To start our working session, I will give the floor to the head of the task force of the relations with the United Kingdom. He will have 15 minutes, and then I will give the floor to David McAllister for 5 minutes, our illustrious member of the European Parliament and head of the coordination group with the UK, and then we will have a session of questions and answers. We have 19 people who have asked for the floor. You have 2 minutes each, and at the end, to answer these questions, I will once again give the floor to Michel Barnier. So, dear Michel, I hand over the floor to you.
Personne ne s'occupe de ça. Est-ce que ça marche, là? It's OK?
Oui, ça marche, Michel.
Très bien. Merci beaucoup. Arriver juste comme cela pour m'exprimer, mais je suis assez.
I'm here sitting this table only about two minutes, because I was having a meeting with all the Minister of Foreign Affairs presided by the Joseph Borrell to talk about this negotiation. I'm very pleased to accept your invitation and to be here with all the Cossack representatives. So don't forget that when I talk a Cossack, I was a senator in my own country. I've had several contacts, not just with Portugal, but also with many other countries during this very long negotiation, which was held during these last 4 years. So we have met several times. We thought it was the opinion of the President Juncker and the President von der Leyen, because this negotiation cannot be secret, because it regards so many citizens, it concerns so many businesses, it raises so many issues that you had to guarantee the democratic nature of the negotiations and the total transparency. So I am very pleased to meet you again after the last meeting on the 17th September during the German presidency, and we reached on the eve of Christmas a EU UK trade and cooperation agreement. We were able to reach a withdrawal of the UK in an ordinary manner. and the British will laugh to you on the 1st January in a very orderly fashion from the EU and the customs union as they wished for. I believe that this agreement and its implementation should be followed up democratically, should be monitored. It is in fact the spirit of this dialogue that we've had with the national parliaments and the European Parliament. This agreement includes the exceptional circumstances of this negotiation, with its and it is based on a EU-UK agreement, and it's only right that the national parliaments were associated. So it's a very legitimate goal of David McAllister. So we are now implementing this agreement through the works of the Partnership Council, the Specialist Committee foreseen under the agreement, and also foreseen under the Constitution and the agreement between the European Parliament and the British Parliament to give a greater dimension to this role and this democratic discussion. I'd like to say that we are committed with the UK in this agreement to have regular consultations and to consult the civil society through a forum with the civil society. So the Vice President of the European Commission, Jacek Kovic, is in charge of carrying out this follow-up of the implementation has been doing since the withdrawal agreement. I'd like to say a few words on the content of this agreement, which is founded on four pillars. The first is the free trade agreement, free and fair trade agreement. So it was the object of very long and difficult negotiations for the whole of our teams to strike a balance between these two terms, free and fair. Why? Because this is the first time that ever for the last 60 years, a trade agreement with a third country is taking place in a context of differences in regulations and not a convergence. A convergence of regulation. It's not like what happened between Korea and Japan. So the divergent views that UK has, so this is the desire of the UK, and should not have an impact on these of social and economic dumping or environmental dumping. And we have reasons to be watchful. Some days we've heard how the British ministers call upon a difference in different regulations on pesticides and on financial services and some different regulations on the working hours. So we're going to see how these divergences will take place. But we have mechanisms and tools under this agreement to replicate or to compensate if there are if these different regulations will lead to the trade distortion and some severe impacts on employment in both our countries in between the UK and EU. So the other chapter is the social and economic agreement. So this is not merely a free trade agreement, so a cooperation for the interconnectivity of transports, both air transportation and road transportation, a cooperation for energy, and a cooperation on certain programs of the Union, which we are very sorry that the British decided not to be a part of Erasmus. It's their decision, and we are sorry for them. And we have an agreement for the fisheries, which is very important for the European countries who that have their fisheries in the British waters. And this has been a very long and very difficult discussion to find a reasonable agreement for the fisheries sector, so to allow the access to the British waters. It also the reciprocal access of the British companies to our markets. And finally, an agreement on governance, horizontal governance, global governance of this partnership, and the settling of conflicts and the ability to suspend one party of the agreement if the other party will contradict the general spirit of the content of this agreement. So matters are going to be taken as a compensation in this regard. So this is what I like to say very clearly and very briefly on these three areas. The fourth concerns the citizen security, which is a very important subject for us. It's very different from the economic sector. So the security of citizens is based upon a principle that the British have subscribed, taking into account the European Convention of Human Rights and the legislation on data protection, which is also linked to the security. So we have reached an operational cooperation for Europol, Eurojust, the extradition proceedings, the cooperation in matters of money laundering. This is what I had to say regarding these four pillars. We, dear colleagues and dear friends, we are very sorry that the British have been want to discuss the foreign policy, defence and cooperation with the developing countries, namely African countries. And these chapters, which are contained in the declaration, the political declaration signed by Boris Johnson in the 1st of October 2019. So this would be an agreement which was more economic than political. And this political dimension of the EU was not very pleasing for the British. But we are all ready without any naiveness to discuss the question of the foreign policy of the political cooperation, namely in terms of the United Nations and the development issues. If the British would like to discuss them, it would be very different to the discussions we had so far because they are now outside the EU. But they are a friendly country with a very active foreign possible. They have their own seat at the Security Council of the United Nations. So in the circumstances that we have to decide, it would be nice to complete this agreement by an extension into the common and foreign policy and the defence policy. Thank you very much for this, for the trust in the negotiations which was held. And the President of the European Commission asked me to be present in the joint committee to follow this implementation of the agreement together with David McAllister. And I will be here until the ratification of the agreement is finalised and I will leave my functions. And I'd like to thank the exceptional team with whom I have worked and like to thank all the services of the European Commission, the European Parliament and the Council, and also the trust from the national parliaments. Thank you very much for your attention.
Muito obrigado, Michel.
Thank you, Michel. It was a great pleasure for us to count with your presence in this session at the end of a process, and this new stage is, I'm sure, just as complex as negotiating the 1,247 pages of the agreement plus the political declaration. So the next few stages will surely not be easy, but I'm certain that both from our side and the UK, we will be up to the challenge. I will now give the floor with a great pleasure to the member of the European Parliament, David McAllister, as I've mentioned already. He is the chair of the UK coordination group in the European Parliament. David, you have the floor.
Bom dia, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, dear colleagues. A warm welcome here from sunny Brussels. The sun is just shining through the window. I would like to also welcome you all and echo the words of Michel Barnier. Thank you for inviting me and for this opportunity to exchange views with colleagues from the national parliaments. I'm happy to share with you, Mr. Chairman, the current work of the European Parliament with regard to the United Kingdom under the scrutiny of the UK Coordination Group, which I have the honour to chair. Before I start, let me thank once again Michel Barnier and his team for all their extraordinary work during the past year and congratulate him on securing this agreement. The European Parliament's vote on consent is indispensable for the agreement to enter into force. Parliamentary scrutiny ahead of this crucial vote is therefore of key importance. Now, colleagues, as you know, the Trade and Cooperation Agreement itself sees the provisional application until the end of February. Consequently, the European Parliament plans its vote on consent before the state, allowing sufficient time for the Council to adopt the decision to conclude the agreement. To this end, an extraordinary plenary part session could be scheduled for the 23rd of February. However, and you will be aware of this in all our national capitals, the discussions are ongoing with regard to a possible extension of the provisional application, which would allow more time for scrutiny and later consent vote. Such an extension would need to be requested by the European Commission, mandated by the Council, and agreed in the Joint Committee. Agreed in the yet to be established EU-UK Partnership Council. With fully understanding our responsibility towards our citizens and businesses, the European Parliament has carefully been examining the text of the agreement, working at full capacity with a view to the vote at the end of February. Should more time be possible, then the better. We will have to wait and see what the Partnership Council decides. In the European Parliament, we are working on the consent procedure with the Foreign Affairs and the Trade Committee in the lead. Nearly all other parliamentary committees contribute as well. In parallel, the two co-rapporteurs within the UK Coordination Group are drafting an accompanying resolution which will contain the European Parliament's position on the outcome of the negotiations. Looking into the future, we are focusing on the agreement's implementation. Important decisions in many policy areas are to be taken by the Council and the Commission. These decisions would develop or even modify the content of the agreement. For us, very important, the European Parliament must stay involved and informed in line with the treaties. Article 218 of the Treaty on the Function of the EU is clear in this regard. Quote, the European Parliament shall be immediately and fully informed at all stages of the procedure. Unquote. To ensure an effective scrutiny and democratic legitimacy of the future decisions, we need to set up a framework for high-level institutional cooperation in this respect. I look forward to cooperating with the Vice President of the Commission, Maros Šefčovič, as the European Union's co-chair in the Partnership Council. A final remark. As you know, the agreement provides for the establishment of a Parliamentary Partnership Assembly and grants this assembly an important right to be informed by the Partnership Council. In resolutions last year, the European Parliament has expressed its support for parliamentary cooperation. On the British side, the Committees on Future Relations with the EU in both the Commons and the Lords have also highlighted the importance of such dialogue. So we will explore with our counterparts in London what kind of body we could foresee to strengthen the parliamentary dimension of our future relations. Mr. Chairman, thank you for your attention, and now I look forward to our discussion. And once again, let me thank Michel Barnier for the outstanding cooperation with the European Parliament in the last months. Thank you.
Muito obrigado, David.
Thank you, David. I wish you excellent work in February. Difficult days ahead for the European Parliament, but I hope you can conclude from the Parliament's point of view, side this agreement. I will now give the floor to the colleagues who have registered for the floor. I will start giving the floor to Sabine Tillay from the National Assembly of France.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much to the Portuguese presidency to follow upon this great initiative of meeting around COSAC. And thank you very much, dear Michel Barnier, to discuss the most important elements of this crucial agreement, a very important basis to guarantee the level playing field. I have two questions. European Parliament was very sorry for not being sufficiently associated to the discussion of this agreement, only to ratify it a posteriori, and to not being able to influence the procedures of the review of the agreement. Nathalie Roizin has proposed the creation of a follow-up parliamentary committee. This has been enhanced in the UK EU Interparliamentary Assembly. I've heard from different demonstrations and expressions of interest by the social civil society and different partnerships and the opinion of the national parliaments. How could we join this follow-up of the implementation, and also the defence issues were unfortunately not being covered under the agreement. We French will have a bilateral agreement of Lancaster House. It is still in force. But at a European level, European Union level, how can we organise the relations with the UK and the institutional relations within the defence policy? Thank you.
Thank you, Sabine. Now I will give the floor to colleague Joe McHugh from the Irish Parliament.
Thank you, Chairman. And thanks to Michel Barnier for his presentation as well. And it's good to see a Frenchman using Irish language in your Twitter account, Nyniart Gokorlakele, Michel. It'll be interesting to hear what that is in French. But anyway, two questions. Now that we have the opportunity for new relationships and new partnerships between the EU and the UK, my first question is, would the new Joint Partnership Council be a potential vehicle for national parliaments to forge these new relationships? And the second question, Michel, is with regards to rules of origin for unexpected imports on goods re-imported into the EU following packaging in the UK. It was a sort of unintended consequence. Does the agreement provide for any flexibility measure in its interpretation to ensure that trade in these goods is not needlessly disrupted by measures that were not intended for goods produced in the EU? So there are my two questions. And in my final few seconds, Chairman, I want to wish the Portuguese well in the times as well during your tenure. So amor amahan seo. Good luck in the future.
Muito obrigado, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. It's now the time to give the floor to colleague Dragomir Stoinev from the Bulgarian National Assembly.
Dear Mr. Barnier, on behalf of the Committee of European Affairs and Oversight of the European Funds of the Republic of Bulgaria, I welcome the successful conclusion of the negotiation of the EU-UK Trade and Cooperation Agreement, as I would like to thank you and your team for your efforts and activities implemented so far. Your contribution as Chief Negotiator and Head of the Task Force for Relations with the United Kingdom during the past years is a major accomplishment for the EU and the future relations with the UK. Bulgaria attached great importance to the principle of non-discrimination and equal treatment of the member states in implementation of the new agreement, and we believe that the European Commission will spare no efforts in this regard. We accept the rights of citizens as an issue of great importance and our priority after Brexit, and we will give special significance to the implementation of the withdrawal agreement. Being one of the challenges of 2020, especially during the COVID-19 pandemic, the Brexit process demonstrates that the common European approach and efficient exchange of information between member states and the European Commission is a significant sign that the European Union can be strong in turbulent times and that can overcome various obstacles. And in the end, Monsieur Barnier, permettez-moi de vous remercier à ce qui concerne tous vos efforts.
So, Mr. Barnier, so thank you very much for making all the efforts to reach the best possible agreement for the European Union. And let me issue and your team a good year, a happy new year, a prosperity and good health. Thank you.
Muito obrigado, Dragomir.
Thank you, Dragomir. I will now give the floor to the colleague, Konstantinos Evstatiou, from the House of Representatives of Cyprus.
Alô, Konstantinos. Alô, Konstantinos. Perdemos o contacto, creio.
Ok.
Are you with us, Konstantinos?
Sorry.
Yes?
Yes.
We are hearing you. We don't have your image, but...
But okay, you can listen to me. Okay, so no problem. First of all, I would like to thank Mr. Barnier and his team for the excellent work they have done. I have four small questions. The first of all is that there are certain points of concern as to the content of the agreement must be raised. First of all, in particular, that the absence of provisions on foreign policy, security, and the education policy, such as Erasmus program, are very serious. Can we wait for a new effort on that issues? My second question is, what about if European Parliament cannot give its consent or referring the agreement to the Court of Justice? What will happen? The third is that there is an intergovernmentary relations and there is this agreement of a possible cooperation between the Parliament of the UK and the European Parliament. Can we wait a analogous situation for the national parliaments of the EU members, a cooperation agreement with the UK Parliament? And the fourth question, what about the bilateral agreements which can be signed or between the EU countries and the UK after the agreement or the signing of the agreement, taking into consideration that many countries had special relations with the UK because of history, because of being ex-colonies, and every single and then situations like that. Can I have this
your point of view on that matter too. Thank you very much.
Muito obrigado, Constantinos.
Thank you, Constantinos. Now I will give the floor. It's a great pleasure to do so to Roberta Metsola, first Vice President of the European Parliament in charge of relations with national parliaments. Roberta, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Luis, and thank you, Mr. Barnier, for your continued availability to us throughout the Brexit negotiations and today to discuss the outcome of the trade and cooperation agreement concluded with the United Kingdom. The European Parliament is keen to pursue stronger inter-parliamentary cooperation with both Houses of Parliament in the UK, and we are pleased to see that the House of Commons echo these sentiments, calling for the establishment of the UK-EU Parliamentary Partnership Assembly that is provided for in the agreement in its recent report on the shape of future parliamentary scrutiny of EU-UK relations. And indeed, in this regard, President Sassoli has already written to counterparts in his house, in the Houses of Parliament, about putting this into practice. And should this assembly be set up, the European Parliament will be establishing a delegation to it. Now, as far as COSAC is concerned, the European Parliament wholly supports the German and Portuguese presidency approach to opening participation to the UK, depending on the agenda. And within the European Parliament, it still remains possible to invite the third country parliaments when committees are organising inter-parliamentary committee meetings, although we have to see on a case-by-case basis what the possibilities are for UK participation in other fora within the European Parliament. The priority for us for the time being, as outlined by my colleague Dave McAllister, is to carefully scrutinise the agreement, and various committees are giving opinions on what the relations could be looking at, building, fleshing this out and building trust with the UK as a third country. Building on this trust, I'll conclude with this. Speaking on behalf of many university students across the EU, the UK approach to the Erasmus Plus programme within the wide Brexit negotiation has been a source of disappointment, and we are heartened to see interest from Wales and Scotland in encouraging students to maintain their participation in Erasmus Plus. What would be your opinion on this, and would your task force be engaging in looking at this into more detail? Thanks.
Muito obrigado, Roberta.
Thank you, Roberta. I will give the floor now to the colleague, Susana Sumelza, from the Parliament, the Cortes.
Desde el Parlamento aquí en España, en la que también tenemos una sesión hoy de la Diputación Permanente, queremos agradecer a la presidencia.
Very good afternoon from the Spanish Parliament. We have a session of the Permanent Deputation today. Thank you to the Portuguese Presidency for organizing this meeting. We want to thank Mr. Barnier for the excellent task he has conducted and thank his team as well. We want to congratulate him for preserving the unity of the 27 of the European Union, which was not an easy task in this regard. And also thank him for informing member states. In Spain, we would have liked a more ambitious agreement, but given the rigidity of the United Kingdom, we believe that the best possible agreement has been reached. And in this sense, we would like to convey our thanks for your excellent work. Thank you very much and good afternoon.
Yeah, Susana.
Thank you, Susana. Now, I will give the floor to Jean-François Rapin, from the French Senate.
I'd
like to thank the Portuguese presidency for giving us the occasion to have Michel Barnier, but I'd like to congratulate him for the job well done. The agreement with the withdrawal agreement was quite positive. So obviously, when we are going to implement the agreement, there should we should have a control on the exchanges with the UK. I'd like to call upon the asymmetry in the veterinary controls. We are much more demanding than the British on this regard. A transitional period during the first quarter will allow the foodstuff producers to export to the UK the health certificate. But now we are going to request for these health certificates to... for instance, the embargo with the UK with Russia have made them lost some market. We'd like this agreement within conditions of Russia processing. In relation to the organisation of the controls of the European ports from the Havre to Hamburg, it's not very rigorous, so we have to carry out the controls, even if the British would like to say that they're going to follow all the house regulations. It's a concern for the consumers and for the European companies, which are going to suffer an unloyal, unfair competition by the Britishers in relation to the European countries where the controls are being done very strictly. So I'd like to finalize on the fisheries, and they have discussed this at length, but in the fisheries sector there is still a great deal to be done. Thank you.
Jean-François.
Thank you, Jean-François. I will now give the floor to the colleague representing the Senate in Belgium, Gaëtan van Goetzenhoven.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Monsieur Barnier, je tiens tout d'abord.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Mr. Barnier. I'd like to congratulate you on the marvelous work that is now finalized. You have led these negotiations with farmers and maintaining the interests of the European Union at heart. Now we see the there is a very important number of documents to control the VAT, the tax customs issues, and we have many documents that are going to be followed within the next 3 weeks, and the advantages are invisible on the daily life of the consumers. It is only to be regrettable that the British have not realized the impact of business regulations, the single market, and in general, the advantages that represent the European Union for the citizens are not all properly understood or not well explained to the population. So how can we prevent this situation will happen in the future? How can we make it that European Union will and its citizens will fully understand this agreement? The European Union, beyond the 750 million, we are based upon fundamental pillars. So there's a true cooperation that has to take place between the European institutions and the citizens. And I'd like to insist upon the occasion that represents a future conference on the future of Europe in this regard. Thank you very much.
Muito obrigado, Gaetan.
Thank you, Gaetan, for your presentation. I will now give the floor. It's a great pleasure for me to give the floor to our former president, Gunther Krischbaum.
Bem-vindo.
Welcome.
First of all, thank you very much for the opportunity for this exchange this afternoon, and also for continuing the COSAC Agora. Thanks a lot also to Roberta Mazzola and David McAllister for this marvelous exchange which we had as national parliamentarians and national parliaments with the European Parliament, and also to the head of the task force, Michel Barnier. Et si vous permettez, j'aimerais m'adresser avec quelques mots en français directement.
If you allow me, I'd like to address Michel Barnier in French. Thank you very much for your thorough commitment. You have struggled for our values. You have strived to keep our positions, and it's not been easy because at the beginning we had a European Union that wanted to keep together, and it's a great... it's a great achievement that the European Member States had stayed united. Despite all the provocations, you have kept your calm, and once again, very much to you and to your team.
which, because I think also it's a little bit more easier for the participants of this conference. Looking on the time, which is limited, I think the best treaty can only exist if trust is the basic. And I would be interested, Michel, how do you consider the British behavior in the future? Because to be very honest, and it's my private position, this trust was damaged when we had to observe the behavior of the British government concerning the internal market bill. So we can discuss about all the details. We had now a public hearing here in the Bundestag, and we discussed about all the details. But trust will be the basic for our future relation, and how do you consider here the British government and also the British Parliament, including the House of Lords? Luis, thank you.
Muito obrigado, Gunther. Foi prazer ouvir.
Thank you, Gunther. It was a pleasure listening to you. I will now give the floor to the colleague from the National Assembly of Hungary, Hajnalka Joask.
Thank you very much. Let me deeply thank you, Mr. Barnier, for your intensive work as chief negotiator. The unity of the member states is not just a precious asset, but demonstrates well that if needed, we can stay united. At the end of last year, we seemed delighted that the Brexit negotiations came to an end and the MFF and recovery package were also adopted. First and foremost, let me express or welcome for the conclusion of the trade and cooperation agreement between the EU and the UK. The 4 years divorce process was finally completed and settled. However, the EU lost one of its biggest member states. As before, Hungary fully respects the decisions of British citizens and the result of Brexit referendum. As the episodes of past weeks show, that deal is done, but many crucial issues are still unresolved. Our imminent goal is therefore to overcome the open issues from security, duty, and bureaucratic matters to professional qualification or transport and services. The daily and practical challenges should be resolved without undermining the integrity of the single market and the indivisibility of the four freedoms. I do support that the Commission ensures sufficient time for a detailed review of the agreement, avoiding non-compliance with the rules of procedure, and we consider it important to continue the consultations in the framework of the seminars within the working group. Finally, I do hope our bilateral cooperation will later also cover data, defence and other matters providing security and predictability for the citizens of both sides, making the deal fairer. Thank you for your attention.
Muito obrigado, Hajnalka.
Thank you very much, Hajnalka. Now I will give the floor to the colleague, Ria Oomen-Ruijten, from the Parliament from the Netherlands.
So, many thanks for organizing this event. President, I would like to say once more that I admire the unwavering zeal in the negotiations which has brought in by Michel Barnier. And I want also to add that the way the parliaments also were involved in a very open and constructive way, we admire very much. I have a question. The British have now their trade agreement, but now they can already see that their exports of food, fish, but also necessary imports are threatening their society, because of the paperwork, which they hadn't foreseen, I think. Is there a solution for that? That's my first question. The second one is the partnership. For sure, the European Parliament, the European Union, will have a good partnership with the UK. My question is, how can we involve national governments, but also national parliaments in this process? And then the third one, I regret with many of us that we couldn't reach something on external affairs, on external affairs. So, Mr. President, I I have to see that our cher Michel has completed his almost mission impossible. He did it with passion. He used his big diplomatic skills, and I would like once again to thank him and his collaborators for everything what he did for the 27 in Europe. Thanks very much.
Muito obrigado, Ria.
Thank you very much, Ria. I think we all share your feelings. I will now give the floor to colleague Marietta Giannakou from the Greek Parliament.
I wish you a very successful Portuguese presidency. Monsieur Barnier, cher Michel, allow me to congratulate you for your appointment as special advisor to President von der Leyen as of the 1st February 2021. We are pleased that the negotiations were concluded successfully, even at the last moment. Now we can build a new mutual beneficial relationship between the EU and the UK. Our belief is that the UK will be the EU's best friend and ally. From our side, we will work nationally for the implementation of the agreement while we are preparing the institutional framework in cooperation with Brussels. Due to the urgent need for the implementation of the agreement, some shortcomings might be expected. However, we expect to overcome them effectively. My hope is national and local parliaments and the European Parliament in turn will give their green lights and will not catch us by surprise. Thank you, Mr. President.
Muito obrigado, Marietta.
Thank you, Marietta. Now, I will give the floor to the Senate in Romania, Mr. Angel Tilval. You have the floor.
Obrigado, Luis. I would like to join my colleagues in expressing our strong appreciation for all the efforts undertaken by the European Commission negotiating team and by you personally, Michel, which were essential in reaching this set of balanced and comprehensive agreements that represent now the basis of our future relations with the United Kingdom. Dear Michel, we are deeply convinced that the result of the negotiations with the UK reflect your personal dedication, energy and spirit of cooperation with all member states and national parliaments. We thank you for that. Yet, starting January the 1st, 2021, the United Kingdom no longer applies the principle of free movement of persons being no longer an EU member state. The London authorities have established a new immigration system applicable to all EU member states. According to it, studying or working in the UK requires obtaining a visa in advance, which can be obtained on the basis of specific criteria as well as by paying specific fees. In this view, Romanian citizens wishing to work in the UK on a long-term basis must apply for a work visa and also pay a visa fee for this purpose. Applicants from 22 EU member states, less Romania, Bulgaria, Estonia, Lithuania, and Slovenia, automatically benefit from a reduction when paying such fee. Citizens of Iceland, Norway, Turkey and Northern Macedonia benefit from the same reduction. In this respect, I would like to emphasize the need to ensure that all EU citizens are treated alike by the British authorities, irrespective of their nationality. I want to kindly ask you, dear Michel, if you consider that it is important to continue to remain vigilant, and I share Günther's stressing the idea of trust, regarding the treatment of our citizens in the UK and their equal opportunities, and to avoid differentiated approaches, and I trust your ability and that of the Commission to continue to uphold this principle in relation with our British counterparts. Thank you very much.
Muito obrigado, Angel.
Gilles, thank you very much. I will now give the floor with great pleasure to Dario Stefano from the Italian Senate. And I would like to tell all the colleagues that we have some leeway in terms of our agenda, in terms of time. So if anybody wants to ask for the floor, feel free to do so. We can still take on two or three speakers. Dario Stefano, you have the floor.
Grazie Presidente Santos per questa occasione. Mi associo anch'io alle congratulazioni che un po' tutti abbiamo rivolto a Michel Barnier per la nomina a consigliere speciale post-Brexit della Presidente della Commissione Europea. La Brexit è oggi una realtà.
The Brexit agreement to your tireless commitment, Mr. Barnier. The fact that we've reached a deal, we owe it to you. Let me also express the wholehearted appreciation of the Italian Senate for the transparency of the negotiating process, which enabled national parliaments to closely follow the negotiations from the very outset. Now, in the current stage of implementation of the agreement, national policymakers shall have to be involved in monitoring its impact on business and citizens, notably through an ongoing dialogue with the European Commission in order to overcome any difficulties. Let me raise an issue that is having an adverse impact on Italian companies, but also, I surmise, on all European companies. We know that this is the first EU trade agreement with a third country envisaging zero tariffs and zero quotas. This is certainly a positive factor. Also, agri-food products will be free from customs duties. However, if a given food product contains an ingredient from a non-EU country exceeding 30% of its weight, then customs duties must be paid. I understand the rationale, but still, this will involve that customs operations will become more cumbersome as the non-EU percentage will need to be calculated, and this will increase the bureaucratic burdens, especially for SMEs, for small and medium-sized enterprises. This is further compounded by the working hours of the UK customs. This is very complex again. There are many transactions will be cancelled. These are concrete problems that companies are grappling with at this very moment. The question is whether the UK will continue to adopt obstructionist attitudes or whether they will take steps to facilitate a smooth cooperation. Just one second, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to, as far as external relations are concerned, you rightly express your regret that the agreement does not include cooperation in the areas of foreign policy and defence policies. And the recent denial by Boris Johnson of full diplomatic status for the new EU representative to London does not bode well for future dialogue. It does not really, it's not a good sign. We shall have to work hard in this direction. Thank you.
Muito obrigado, Dario.
Thank you very much, Dario. It's now time to give the floor to Merja Kilonen from the Finnish Parliament.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thanks a lot for this opportunity and our best regards from Finland, from the Grand Committee. And of course, special thanks to Mr. Barnier and your team, all the hard work you have done. I have a couple of questions. We have a huge packet here with this agreement. And now we have realized that actually British businesses that export to the continent are being encouraged by government trade advisors to set up separate companies inside the EU in order to get around extra charge paperwork and taxes resulting from Brexit. And this is something we have already know that will happen, but we also know that we will have a big problems with small and middle-sized and even big enterprises with the markets in UK after Brexit. So how do you see the situation right now and what can be done together? And the other question is about occupational or professional qualifications, because now we have problems with companies to get this kind of recognition of professional qualifications after Brexit. And we know that companies need to have opportunities to change places for the specialists, and now there's difficulties, of course, inside the UK, but also in EU when we are speaking about the UK specialists. So these were the two questions, and thanks to you all.
Muito obrigado, Maria.
Thank you, Maria. And now it's a pleasure to give the floor to Riina Sikkut from the Estonian Parliament.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Brexit is an extraordinary change for the whole EU, and achieving a deal no doubt required an extraordinary effort and an extraordinary negotiator. So thank you, Mr. Barnier, and thanks to your team as well. Estonia emphasized the functioning single market, fair competition, ensuring social rights and electronic exchange of data, and of course continuing as close cooperation with the UK as possible. The deal is a good compromise, but looking into the future, we consider it important to go on with discussions on security, defense, and foreign policy. Possibly to reach a framework participation agreement and European Defence Agency's administrative agreement. Let's build an even closer relationship with the UK and jointly secure the future of Europe. Thank you.
Muito obrigado, Riina.
Thank you, Riina. Now we'll hand over the floor to Emanuela Rossilli from the Chamber of Deputies in Italy.
And yes, thank you for this opportunity for sharing our view on the future of the relationship with the United Kingdom. And thanks, Mr. Barnier, for the major effort you made with your team to avoid the disruption of a no-deal Brexit in the middle of a COVID pandemic. So my two questions regard the future agreement or about the relevant issues on which decisions are still to be made. And in particular, the sectoral issues, like all we know, there are many of them regarding renewable energy, but also about financial services. I'd like to ask you, what is the commitment, unwritten or written commitment, about the prospect of reaching common rules on these issues? Or is the future agreement about this in the hands of each country, as it seems, you know? Or and about the fact that foreign policies, external security and defense have not been included is a cause of concern also for my country, because we need common reactions to big global challenges, but also to relaunch transatlantic relations. So what is your feeling about the prospect on these matters? And I conclude by joining other colleagues who asked how to ensure the ongoing involvement of our national parliament regarding, you know, I mentioned the partnership between the European Parliament and UK, United Kingdom Parliament. So how can we continue to be informed and also participate to the future building of the framework of collaborations with United Kingdom? Thank you.
Muito obrigado, Emanuela.
Thank you, Emanuela. And to finish off this first session of speakers before handing the floor back to Michel Barnier, I will give the floor to Emmanuel Malia from the Malta Chamber of Deputies.
Chairman, and thank also to Mr. Barnier, his team, and Mr. Barnier for his presentation today. Malta welcomes the fact that the EU managed to secure a number of agreements with the UK, benefiting a clear governance framework. Albeit the application of EU-UK
Emmanuel,
trade...
Emmanuel, peço desculpa, mas não temos a tua imagem. Aconselho-te...
Emmanuel, we can't see you. Press the video button on your computer, please, so we can see you.
Okay. Okay.
Não, mas estamos a ouvir-te...
We can't see you, but we can hear you. So please continue.
As I was saying, albeit the application of EU-UK trade and cooperation agreement is provisional pending the conclusion of formalities, an ODA scenario would have brought immeasurable hardship for citizens and enterprises on both sides. To make matters worse and more complicated, the end of the Brexit transitory period came about in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic. By extension of Brexit, the UK will no longer form part of the EU single market and customs union, which brings several inevitable changes. While most of the discussion right now surrounds the practicalities of the agreement, the real cost of Brexit can only be assessed in a few years' time, when one can weigh the impact in every sector of society. Brexit is already having an impact on goods and mail transport, just to name two sectors which are facing negative consequences because of this. Customs, duty, and VAT have been greatly affected too, which will most likely lead to a shift in consumer behavior from the UK services to EU-based services. These are important questions to address. Though through continuous engagement between the European institutions and national parliaments on future EU-UK relations, we can work together to make the transition process as smooth as possible. By fostering close dialogue, we can address the European citizens' concerns about Brexit and find an amicable long-term solution of economic stability in Europe. Thank you, Mr. President.
Muito obrigado, Emmanuel.
Thank you, Emmanuel. In the meantime, somebody has registered to ask for the floor, Janusz Jaworzelski from Poland, and it's a pleasure for me to give you the floor.
Alô, Danuta.
Danuta, are you there?
Hey, hello.
Hello.
Do you hear me? Hello.
Sim, Danuta, estamos a ouvir-te.
Yes, we can hear you. Unfortunately, we can't see you, but you can continue.
Hello.
Hello, Danuta, estamos a ouvir-te.
Yes, I'm here.
We can hear you.
Sim, podes tentar uma vez mais, Danuta.
Danuta, can you try once again? Unfortunately, we can't establish a link to Danuta, but I'm sure we will have more opportunities. Having said that, now I will hand the floor back to Michel Barnier for his final presentation and to answer the questions which were raised by the colleagues. Michel, you have the floor.
Merci beaucoup, cher Louis.
Thanks, dear Louis. I thank you and the Portuguese presidency for having this initiative right at the start of your presidency, this new dialogue with the national parliaments. And I'm very pleased, as I said earlier on, to contact with the parliamentary roots, because I myself was at the National Assembly for a long time. I don't forget the European dialogue, which was held at the time. Many questions focus on this question of the democracy, the democratic dimension of this agreement, in particular the follow-up dimension. Roberta mentioned the Inter-Parliamentary Assembly between UK-EU and Sabine Thiar. Joe, Dario and Stefano have also mentioned the role of national parliaments. I believe that you have to find solutions while walking the path and including involving civil society partners, and also the consultations that your national governments should initiate on the follow-up of this agreement. And you have very rigorous control mechanisms to question our ministers regarding what is taking place at Brussels. And we also have COSAC and all the successive chairs that can on a regular basis include in the agenda of your General Assemblies and call upon the Vice President and who, in others of the European Commission, which can explain where we are. And the task force, which is going to be changed since the negotiations are concluded, we have two services at the General Secretariat of the Commission, and I'm sure that the team of the task force and the Commissioner in charge, Mr. Sefcovic, will always be available to reply to your questions. I believe that as we go on, we are going to show how we'll improve what is we attain with these negotiations in the different visits on the different capitals. I've asked myself to contact with the national parliaments, which truly explains the trust between us and with the European Parliament. I've said this on a regular basis during our visits and also in the Council here right in front. And Mrs. Jmack is in front of me, and we practically participated every week on the meetings. And we had 27 delegates on the Brexit negotiations, which have met on a weekly basis. And here we discuss all the subjects. And this is the first time. This is the first time this happened. So we've said everything which was going on to all the delegates present. Thank you very much, Ria and Vladimir, Angel, Susanna, and to Guta Krishpan, who I'm very pleased to meet again, for the appreciation of the work that I did. But quite honestly, this has been a joint effort. I had an exceptional team here and all the commission services which have worked act with a great deal of trust, particularly the trust endowed upon me by President Juncker and President von der Leyen. In the two last weeks, we had practically 200 people who were working for the last 2 months, and we worked over the weekend, every weekend with the British to be able to finalise the agreement, which was finalised on Christmas Eve. Thank you very much for your appreciation regarding our work. In relation to Ria and Marietta, I have mentioned the foreign policy. The UK, well, we have to work on this bilateral alliance. I'm not talking about NATO, which is still the same, or some relations the UK and other countries. I'm talking about the EU-UK bilateral relations, and we need a framework to cooperate at the political level at the United Nations, and the possible sanctions and the possible participation of the UK in the external relations of the EU, how a third country can participate. So we have to find a way. So on the investment fund, which has just been created on the PASCO, so this is a negotiation which can open up in a realistic way, and the 27 will discuss jointly. And the if the UK agrees, we can find a way of opening up new negotiations on this regard. And this is what I wish for the geopolitical reasons, because we are going to cope with the big geopolitical challenges if we are side by side, because we are in the same continent. Robert mentioned Erasmus. The UK wanted to create another competitive Erasmus. We invited them to be part of the Erasmus program for the 7 years, but they want to pick their participation in the characteristics that was beneficial to them. And in fact, we are very sorry that it didn't join into the Erasmus. And Jean-François Rapin and Ria Ruiten and Maria Kilonen, Emmanuel Maliard and Marlo Stefano have mentioned, just like Jean-François Gundeloven, they have talked about the single market. Dear friends, dear colleagues, I am going to say the truth. Brexit means Brexit, as Mrs. May said. And at the beginning of this mission and the first press conference in 2016, I said, do not underestimate the consequences, the human and social consequences, even political and economic, legal and financial impact of Brexit. Even if we don't reach an agreement for the political institutional Brexit and another agreement on the economic Brexit, there will be consequences. This is not, in fact, this is not something very easy to deal with, because the UK has left the single market. So in relation to the question raised by Emmanuel and Stefano on the rules of origin, all the products which come into the EU, they should comply with the rules of origin, the EHA's rules, and the phytosanitary rules. So we have to control these products. We want to defend the consumers, the consumers' health. And in fact, many national budgets are noted with VIT and the customs duties. So Stefano said, in fact, that we have to deal with the fraud of some products. You know that the counterfeiting of the products, it costs thousands of jobs per year. So we have to tell our businesses that they cannot import products that do not respect European rules. So this is a final decision. There will be no negotiations regarding this. Emanuela Rossini said the economic negotiation is now over. So we have to implement this agreement in a very practical and pragmatic way. There will be no further negotiations on this sector. We can have negotiations on defense, on cooperation, on foreign policy. there will be no negotiations on financial services either. Financial services were never foreseen in these negotiations. They were being discussed outside this agreement, and we have made a unilateral decision, like we did with the United States or Japan, to grant certain equivalences to certain financial services when it will benefit us, and always following the imperative rule, which is financial stability of the Eurozone and the single market. Because we have to remember, not long ago, we know the consequences of the financial crisis because the lack of supervision and regulation. We have rebuilt these supervision, financial supervision, so we are quite vigilant. And this has been a unilateral decision so that nobody will question the financial stability, which will benefit all businesses and citizens. We have also an agreement on energy, which is foreseen. There is a framework and interconnectivity. In relation to climate change, we could not have this operational point because don't have the carbon pricing framework in the UK. But once they have it finalised, we will certainly reach an agreement on the carbon pricing. This is what I have to say in reply to your questions. We need to be vigilant, and Jean-François Rapin talked about fisheries. There is a reasonable and balanced agreement where we have to follow the details of implementation, for instance, to obtain licenses for fishing. But after the transition period, within 5.5 years, the UK will have a total sovereignty over their waters, which will be discussed on a yearly basis, and they will have the intention of close complete zones for fishing. So we will be ready to use the mechanisms, the compensation mechanisms, which are foreseen in the agreement. So to make a connection between fisheries and energy, I'd like to recall your national parliaments that in this agreement, we have a mirror clause in the energy sector. So in the energy sector, there's a clause which foresees a 5.5 years transitional period, the same length as for the fisheries, and for the electrical, the power connectivity will have a yearly discussion. This is what I call the reciprocal access to waters and to the energy market. The implementation, in this implementation of the agreement, we should be vigilant. Media Kilonen talked about professional qualifications. Unfortunately, it's a Brexit. We can collaborate on the different professions, but the automatic and mutual recognition is now over because the British have left the single market, so there is no more automatic recognition in terms of professional skills. This is one of the automatic consequences of Brexit. Eugene Tilvan mentioned mobility. This is a great difference from now on between what we had before, the free movement, and what we have with the new migration policy of the British, which is very different. And there are some decisions which will be made which are going to be different depending on the member states. In relation to the short-term visas, there will be no discrimination, but for the long-term visas, unfortunately, we could not obtain the same conditions. I believe that I've replied to all. Rina mentioned the common foreign and security policy. We are ready to open up new negotiations if the British desire is. We need two tango, so we would be interested in reaching an agreement regarding the foreign common and security policy. So, Luis, these are our replies. We are available. if you, the different national parliaments would like to post questions on different areas, we will have different consultation in your different committees, but we will be available. And we are certainly willing to participate in this process of dialogue between the European Parliament and national parliaments. I thank you very much for your invitation. I'm very pleased to have shared with the conclusions, and I'm very glad to have had so many contacts with the 27 national parliaments. Thank you very much.
Michel, thank you. It was a great pleasure and honour for us, and a privilege to, having reached the end of this difficult cycle, to once again count with your presence and with your explanations. It's not very usual that a politician can achieve so much consensus on such a complex topic, and so it was gratifying to me to listen to all the opinions of the colleagues which go down the same road. Thank you, Michel Barnier. You will always be welcome. Thank you, and see you soon. I want to thank all the colleagues for their presentation. We have reached our objectives. It was a very interesting and clarifying meeting. We are well aware that we have reached the end of one process, and a new complex chapter has opened, and we will continue to follow that chapter. And in future meetings, we will discuss the future relationships between national parliaments through COSAC with the House of Commons and the House of Lords. Now, this week, let me tell you that on Thursday at 10 o'clock Brussels time, we have a meeting with Commissioner Vera Jourova to discuss the action plan for European democracy, which was recently presented. I hope that, I would have hoped that this meeting wasn't following on from this one, but we had to adapt our calendar to the availability of the Commissioner. After that, we will meet again in 2 weeks' time with Commissioner Kyriakides to deal with an important issue, which is health, within the context of this pandemic, which is worsening in many member states. And it's more than sufficient to try and build a strong European Union in health terms. Once again, I want to thank you all and wish you excellent work ahead and health for the next few days. Thank you very much.